Bodies of unidentified people show up on a scary regular basis. Some are quickly identified, others are not. Hi guys, this is The Missing Ones. I'm Liberty Campbell.
And I'm Alexis Peterson.
So just you're we gotta chit chat. Do you not read? Do you not read, girl?
I don't know.
We are struggling today. I love how we were like,
there was just such an awkward pause that I was like, oh shoot, was that me? Am I supposed to talk? And then I was like, oh, here's my next. I totally skipped.
I'm so awkward. I'm awkward too. It's fine. I was just gonna say, we and I like clearly already discussed all of this, but I was just gonna bring up your recent move to Florida and all of that fun stuff. So we are now working in two different time zones instead of one. It's 9:19 here. We said we would start at 8:30 my time. It's now an hour later almost. It's fine.
Yep. And it's so funny because since moving here, you know, everywhere else you get all these Florida man stories, but yet, like, I've been getting a ton of Utah man stories, like just the crazy nutball.
I freaking hate it here. I hate Utah.
Let me see if I can find one.
You need to. You should find one. We hope that you guys enjoyed last week's episode, the first one with Alexis. I hope you guys enjoy having her on our show. I know that I have fun talking to her. We literally talk, I think we've talked for an hour now before actually recording, and we'll probably talk for an hour after we finish recording, but we have a lot of fun. Alexis is actually in charge of our Instagram and our Twitter because she's a lot better at that stuff than I am.
Only sometimes.
No, it's all the time.
Okay. I found one.
Okay,
ready for this Utah man story? It was only posted 10 hours ago as of today, which is the first. And it's a man drove his car up on the lawn and next to a Logan courthouse claiming there was a bomb threat, but no explosives were found.
Hey, we used to live there. Why did nothing happen like that when we lived there?
I mean, my place got broken into and robbed, and then...
Oh, I forgot about that.
And then I had to show up at the courthouse for that. And so we got to see the crazy guy before him, and then we got to hear the story of the reason why there's already a warrant out on the guy. And so... I would say that was a crazy Logan Man story.
Okay, you win. Yeah. I forgot that your apartment got broken into. I lived on campus. I mean, like, it was definitely possible, but...
Yeah, not as common. Yeah, we were only living there for maybe a week, and we got broken into on my brother's birthday. And
That's so scary.
Yeah.
I loved living in Logan, though, except the winters. If Logan was the way it is in, like, the fall and the spring year-round, I would live there in a heartbeat. But then you'd have to deal with that cold, and I can't do it. I was going to remind everybody to follow us over on Instagram and Twitter. It's at Missing Ones Pod. Alexis is the one who runs that for the most part. You will occasionally see me over there. She just posted our very first reel. Neither one of us have any idea what that means. Maybe we're old, maybe we're not. I don't know. But that's the gentle reminder to follow us on Instagram and Twitter because it's fun, and you should also be sharing with your friends and family who also like true crime, because people that like true crime are the best people.
Agreed. Really- Just a quick disclaimer, this episode will talk about child death, neglect, and abuse. If these things are triggering to you, please proceed with caution.
Unidentified persons tend to get media attention for a day or two, but then something bigger comes up and it gets sort of lost in the world of media. It comes up every now and again for anniversaries or if there's some kind of new lead, but it's never the actual spotlight, especially not in today's world between the pandemic and everything that the pandemic has brought on. I mean, it's hard. This sounds super insensitive, but it's hard to be a dead guy at this point in time because you're not going to get any kind of attention. unless you are an important dead person. Like, that sounds so shitty, but it's, unfortunately, it's really true. So it is important that we get as much of their stories out to the public as possible. So today I'm going to tell you about two different Jane Does that authorities need our help finding names for. Because if no one knows that they're out there, no one can say something if they know them.
It's so true, because even if you go on to missingkids.org?
Yeah,
they have a certain page where people can go on and help to identify, you know, unknown.
Yeah, all of their, so there's a specific spot for unidentified children, but you also have the Jane Doe Network that lists both Jane and John Does. And if you don't know what a Jane Doe is, a Jane Doe is a woman or a female child who has been found and unidentified. And then John Doe is a male counterpart.
Yeah, so. And nowadays DNA can only get so far. And with cold cases or really old cases where DNA was not preserved, it's such an important fact for people to go on those websites to help any way they can.
Yes, because you might be looking through these old pictures and say, well, that man kind of looks like my dad. Show that picture to your dad, and your dad will say, well, I mean, he kind of looks like my great uncle Earl, who nobody has heard from in 25 years. And that can give that person a name, and that can give that person some, that family, some justice and some peace of mind. That is why it's so important to share these stories. Today, I'm going to share two different ones. I'm going to share one from 2011 and one from the end of 2020. In late 2011, residents of Brookhaven Trailer Park in Opelika, Alabama, noticed a kind of decaying smell. But since it was in kind of a rural part of Alabama, they assumed it was like a decaying animal and didn't really care. It wasn't until January 28th of 2012 that a skull of a child was found in the backyard of one of these residencies.
Oh no.
Yeah. Within a week of the child's body being discovered, authorities used a grid search to look for more bone fragments and more evidence.
Did they find anything?
So they didn't really find much. I mean, they found a lot more of her body, and they found a pink shirt that had heart buttons on it. But they're not sure if it was related or not. They have that, and I know that the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children have included that shirt in their reconstructed photo of her. So they don't know if it's related to her or not. I think they're just kind of assuming at this point without any other information. That's just kind of what they have. But on February 7th, 2012, Lee County Coroner Bill Harris announced that the Jane Doe was actually a victim of homicide, and that her age at the time of her death was under 10 years old. A few weeks later, it was released that she was Black and likely between the ages of 4 and 7, and it was obvious that she was underdeveloped. Sergeant Richard Converse told the media that they think the child was not generally exposed to the public, so that when they came out with an assumed image of the girl, no one recognized her. Like, they just kind of brushed it off because they didn't know who she was.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Garlic gets out in public a lot. And I know for a fact that there's a few people at, like, Smith's and Walmart that would recognize her. And know, I don't know if they necessarily know who I am, but they know, like, who she is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that you two are associated with each other.
Yeah, like, we go to Walmart and there's a cashier that always gives her suckers. And at Smith's, the fruit guy really likes her. Like, it's just kind of small town charm, I guess. But if something were to happen to her and me, and they put a picture of her out, those people would be able to say, well, she comes in the store every week with this lady who is her mom. And then from there, they would be able to figure out who I am. So that's why authorities think that she hasn't been exposed to the general public, because this is like a relatively small community and relatively tight knit. So they have a few theories on like where she could be from. They think she's from Opelika itself, but it's not impossible that she's from somewhere else, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The autopsy results showed that the girl had experienced repeated physical abuse, including fractures and other injuries that all looked like they never got any kind of medical attention.
Poor girl.
It also appeared that she was very malnourished, which would be why she was underdeveloped. It also looked like she had some kind of scar or defect around her left eye, and it would have been extremely distinctive if you had seen the girl. So again, that's another reason authorities don't think that she was exposed to the public very often, because she did have a distinctive marking on her that would prove to be something identifiable, and if somebody had seen it, they would know. Does that make sense? Like, they would be able to say, oh, I saw this girl with the scar on her eye at the grocery store a few months ago.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they did some chemical isotope testing, which I tried to Google what the definition of that is, and it went way over my head. Like, it was, I didn't understand it. You Google it.
Google will tell me.
Because I don't understand it. So if you understand it, please feel free to tell us, because I don't get it. Anyways, they did the chemical isotope testing on her bones, and I guess it suggested that she was born and raised in Alabama or in one of the neighboring states.
So basically, I basically Googled isotope testing for dummies. And the first thing that came up was geochemistry isotopic analysis. So I think they test for the analysis of strontium, copper, zinc, iron, or calcium. And I think depending on those results, it comes back with like a region where those chemicals, like the certain chemical makeup of that, is found, like,
commonly found in that area.
Yeah, it's used in a variety of different fields such as geology, biology, chemistry, ecology, archaeology. Is situated between the hard natural sciences and social sciences.
So basically all of the classes I did not pass.
It's related to the study of radiocarbon dating. Fewer are familiar with the analysis of other isotopes that are present in biological material such as human or animal bone. Yeah, so it's just basically like the environmental chemicals reacting to the bone when doing this test will give different readings based on the region that it's either located or found in, or I guess from. I don't know if it goes into, like, genetics-wise, but...
But just kind of it gives you kind of a base range of where they might be from, depending on what kind of chemicals and stuff are in that environment, I think, right, is the gist of it, right?
I think so.
Okay. Well, so she was found in 2012, and there were little to no tips, at least none that were worth reporting. Like I said, these Jane Does tend to not get very much media attention at all. Well, in 2015, authorities receive a exciting tip. Mm-hmm. So it is now thought that the Jane Doe attended a vacation Bible school at the Greater Peace Church in Opelika, the same summer that the girl was killed. That's exciting. You're thinking, oh, great, we have a way to, like, identify her. People were around her. She was at this place. There are even photos of the girl from the Bible school, and she resembles the reconstructed photo in, like, a scary way. The originals are pretty blurry, so experts have gone through and advanced the images so they're a little bit clearer. These are the photos from the Bible school. So these first four are her. These two are the girl at the Bible school. And then the one in the pink, obviously our listeners can't see this. This will be on our blog and on our Instagram. The first two are the girl from the vacation Bible school. And then the next two are reconstructed pictures of the Jane Doe, One is from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and then the other is just a clay bust of what they believe for her to look like.
Well, I think it's super similar. I mean, they're not great photos, but obviously coming back from that time, you know, they might not be, but I can see similarities.
You have the distinctive mark on her left eye, which I think is really what makes authorities believe that this is her. Her left eye is, it's bulged, it's bigger than her right eye, and it's a different color, which signifies that it's scarring. It's not necessarily gene mess up that some people have where one eye is a different color than the other. Like, it's distinctively a scar, or at least to me it is.
Yeah.
The real kicker is that no one at the church knew who the girl was, though. There are no records of who she was, where she came from. They just know that she was there.
Oh, that doesn't sound like a very good camp, you know.
Right.
At least from what I, like, when I used to go to camp, there was a huge, like, extensive paperwork you had to fill out.
I don't know. Well, have you ever been to, like, a vacation Bible school? Yeah, okay, yep. I was going to say, because it's like, for me, it was like a day camp, which was weird because we weren't even Christian, like we were Mormon. So it was weird that my mom sent me to one to begin with.
Oh, yeah, the one I went to, I think I went to a couple of them, I think, can't remember, but it was an overnight kind of thing. We slept in bunks, guys and girls were separated, you know,
yeah,
like any other camp.
See, and there wasn't any, like, there wasn't any real detail about what kind of camp this was, whether or not it was like that, where they spent the night, or if it was just a day camp. I'm kind of thinking it was just day camp, because they said that they would send buses out into, like, other communities and then bring the kids back. Hopefully they weren't kidnapping children.
No, I used to go to an outdoor camp that was like that, that they would just, that's how we would get to the camp every day, was you would get on a bus, go to camp, and then depending on how long you were at camp, like, my parents worked all day, and so we would stay for, like, extended camp, I guess, for the afternoon kind of watch. So we didn't get back on the bus, but everybody else who were going home would, and we would stay at the camp until our parents got off work and could pick us up.
That makes sense. Well, some people are on, like, Reddit and different places like that have pointed out that she looks really well groomed for a child who is supposedly from an abusive home, which I agree with. She seems to have clean clothes on in all of the photos. And her hair is done in a style that takes hours to do, with, like, that coarse curly hair that Black girls are known to have. The other question that has been asked is, how did she make it to the vacation Bible school? And like I said earlier, like, buses would just go out and pick kids up. So they're kind of assuming that she wandered onto one. I mean, if she was really neglected, she would probably not have had the, like, social skills to say, I'm lost. You know what I mean? She probably just, they just were like, oh, another kid, great, let's go. That one's rough for me, though, because if she did show up randomly, why were these people at the camp not like, hey, this child is clearly being neglected, let's do something?
Yeah. Maybe they didn't have the training, because at least several of the camps that I've been to when I was younger, camp counselors were between, like, 16 to 18 years old. And I don't know if training has updated since then to where they look out for more like that. But I don't know, as a 16-year-old, if you would have the courage to kind of point that out to anybody, or just be like, you know, she's here, she's fine, she's
Yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't think about that, actually. It's also been theorized that her main caretakers were, like, away or not there. Maybe they were in jail or something when she attended the Bible school. And so then she was left in the care of someone else who took better care of her. And they were the ones that like cleaned her up, put clean clothes on, did her hair. And then they sent her to the Bible school. If that's the case, like, why didn't they say something to take her away from her main caretakers? Unless they tried. And like, I don't know. We won't know anything until she's identified. And I'm a little bit of a judgy person. It's fine. Sergeant Alfred White from the Opelika Police Department told Fox 5 News that they definitely think that whoever killed the girl has connections to Opelika, but it's not impossible that they are from another area. Officials are offering a $20,000 reward to anyone who can help identify baby Jane Doe. And lead to an arrest and conviction of her murderer. I mean, she was literally murdered and then left to rot. Whatever it was shitty. So I don't know. So I want to talk about another Jane Doe who was found pretty recently. She was found on December 10th of 2020. On December 10th of 2020, a motorist was out for a drive when he stopped at a rest area in the middle of nowhere. He came across something that no one ever wants to find, and that is the body of a little girl. She was found along the banks of the Salmon River, about 100 yards from the rest stop. The rest stop is just off of Interstate Oregon 18 in the H.B. Van Duzer Forest State Scenic Corridor in Lincoln County, Oregon. That is a mouthful. I'm sorry. There's no way to like say that gracefully. According to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, she had been dead for at least 30 days before being discovered, and she is between the ages of 6 and 10 years old. I did mention her in the bonus episode about Breasia Terrell and how Breasia's DNA had been tested against this Jane Doe, along with 5 other little girls who were missing. Unfortunately, none of the girls' DNA matched. So now authorities are begging the public for any information that they might have that could lead to identifying this girl. The highway that she was found near is called the Oregon 18, and it connects to the Oregon Coast Highway, which is also known as the 101, and it goes clear down into Los Angeles. And from Los Angeles, you can hit the I-15 and you can go clear across up to I-70, which can go clear across the country. I have a friend that did that. Anyways, once you get to Los Angeles, you're not far from Mexico. So until like more testing and investigating is done, there is no way to actually tell where this girl is from. I mean, there is no way unless somebody comes forward and says, hey, I know that girl. Unfortunately, that's all we have. I mean, we're just going to kind of have to wait until more is released and more testing is done. And hopefully it is granted a spot in media. Hopefully nothing insane happens at the same time that she is identified.
The Opelika, Alabama Jane Doe was found on January 28, 2012 in Brookhaven Trailer Park. She's estimated to be between the age of 3 and 7. She was African American and is estimated she has been dead between 8 months and 2 years before being discovered. Her height, weight, and eye color cannot be determined. She also might have attended a vacation Bible school at Greater Peace Church in Opelika, Alabama. If you or anyone knows something about this Jane Doe, please contact 1-800-843-5678 or the FBI mobile field office at 251-438-3674 or the Opelika Police Department at 334-705-5200. The Jane Doe found in Lincoln County, Oregon, near Van Duzer State Park, is estimated to be between the ages of 6 and 10. She was also African American, and her estimated height is between 3 feet 10 inches and 4 feet 6 inches, and had black hair. Her eye color cannot be determined until DNA testing comes through. If you or anyone you know something about this Jane Doe, please contact the Oregon State Police at 1-800-438-3674 442-0776 or 1-800-843-5678.
Please remember, see something, say something. Thanks, guys, for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. I know that we have enjoyed doing it and sharing these girls' stories.
Don't forget to follow us over on Instagram and Twitter at The Missing Ones Pod, and you can see our source links and photos from these cases on our blog at themissingonespodcast.wordpress.com.
We will talk to you next week.
Bye.